Praise be Jesus and Mary. St. Catherine of Siena, in her own time, played a very important part in bringing, you might even say putting an end to what is sometimes called the Holy Father was, anyway, he's in France, and she finally brought him home. Some want to call it an exile. And it certainly, at the time, caused some confusion because the Holy Father should always really be ruling in Rome. This is where he really belongs. And she succeeded in where St. Bridget of Sweden had failed, although not for her own efforts, certainly. But it was one of the things that St. Bridget was told, that there would be someone who eventually would, not in her own time, but in a latter time, and not very far off. In fact, actually, St. Bridget and St. Catherine of Siena would know the one and same pontiff that would finally make it back to Rome. So they weren't so far apart in their lives, but she was a mere child, of course, where St. Bridget was actually towards the end of her life. And it was a struggle that was very difficult, and Holy Father at that time was also a bit difficult. St. Catherine had much in trying to get the cardinals to work with the Holy Father, because he's a bit on the harsh side in some of his reforms. He was trying to reform the church at the time and was a little bit on the heavy-handed side, so much so that the cardinals decided they didn't want him as pope. And there was probably an invalid election, and so they thought they should elect another pope and all the rest of it, and so this caused a great confusion. But during that time, St. Catherine was very much laboring to bring peace into the church and constantly praying for this, in fact. And she would tell the cardinals, you know, she's talking to both sides, she'd tell the cardinals, you know, they need to, as it were, cover up the faults of their father, you know, not to bring out the faults of their father to the children so as to cause scandal, to cause the children not to want to obey their spiritual father. And she would exhort the Holy Father to be more gentle, to, you know, I like to say, you know, it's what Father John Joseph calls the billy club method. You know, you don't want to start with bashing people when we can approach it in a much more gentle method, especially if we keep, even in we're trying to bear in mind our purpose, especially as pastors of God's flock, that we're trying to draw souls to Christ. You know, even say parents, you know, if we're at home and if we're conscious of the fact, I'm trying to draw my child to God, to watching both their response, how are they receiving my mode of operation, to trying to gently draw them to Christ, God willing, kindly and understandingly. But sometimes we become overzealous, so much so that it ends up closing doors, the brick walls go up, people stop listening, and all you just end up fault-finding one another. You know, neither side can find right in the other. And it would be good, you know, beautiful thing. It's not an easy read, I'll admit that. In fact, the brothers were trying to do it for some spiritual reading. We're reading is a common thing. We're reading the dialogues of St. Catherine. Finally, they said, Father, this is just too... It's too much. Let's just move on to something else. But anyway, Father persevered and read it himself. But it's a slow read. That's why you need time to ponder and meditate on some of what she says, because it's very meaty. There's a lot of meat to it, and you have to really kind of ponder and reflect on it. But her importance in this, you know, the idea, one of the things that I want to stress in this is this striving to work with those who God puts over us. We have to bear in mind, too, that the church has there's a hierarchy, if you will, to obedience. And if we don't understand that proper hierarchy, we get confused. It does say in scriptures, obey all men. But not all men am I to obey equally. There has to be a certain order of who am I to obey first, second, third. Where does it all, because you can sometimes contradictory orders. And so then you have to wonder, well, who do I obey? And we see this in the lives of the disciples even. We've already heard it. You know, Peter says, well, I ask you, who am I to obey, God or men? We have to obey God first. We have to obey God and his church. And then all legitimate authority insofar as it touches our lives and has a right to give orders or commands insofar as they're not sinful. We need to obey. And it does, one of the things that St. Catherine talks about, you know, because the cardinals, if we talk about the faults of, well, you can, it doesn't matter. You can talk about the faults of the church. You can talk about the faults of whoever it might be as a superior. If we undermine that authority, and St. Catherine talks about this in her dialogues, it greatly displeases God. It makes it impossible for legitimate commands to be obeyed in a supernatural way because the people no longer recognize Christ in the individual who represents him. And he has very strong words regarding this. It greatly displeases our Lord to undermine the authority that he has given to those whom he's put over us. And I mean this in the broadest sense. All authority comes from Christ. All have to render an account. If we have any authority at all, it comes from Christ. Because it's all been given to him. And if we exercise authority over others, it's from Christ. It's in Christ's name that we exercise that authority. And if we don't use that authority correctly, according to his will, we have to answer for it. There is an accounting that we will have to render to God on Judgment Day for the abuse of his authority. It doesn't give us license to do anything in all things just because, well, I'm the boss. If we're the boss, it's in service. I mean, even in religious life, sometimes you see this. I remember one time when one of the friars who was in maintenance, he was, you know, everything had to be under lock and key, and you had to go through a series of permissions to get into the room to do anything. Eventually, he was transferred out, and as I was just, you know, we're going up, and so when he left, someone had to take over. And the first thing, when the Father Guardian assigned me to the task of this room, he says, "So how are you going to run this?" So first thing I'm going to do is unlock the door and make things accessible. You know, if they've got Father Guardian's permission, this is enough. I mean, we do want to try to, you know, keep things neat and tidy and stuff, and sometimes there's a necessity to keep things locked up, but still it needs to be done in a way that's in service to the community. Now, if you're in charge of the kitchen, you know, you're there to serve the community. If we think that I'm serving Jesus and Mary and the apostles, how would I go about serving Jesus, Mary, and the apostles? And this is the way I need to approach it. Now, sometimes there's a weakness, and we have to accommodate weaknesses as well. But it changes the way and the approach of what I'm doing, because it's done out of love. It's done to help one another grow closer to Christ. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's not always understood. But if charity is there on both sides, you know, both on the receiving end of an obedience or the one giving it. If charity is there and sensitive, you know, to the difficulties of the receiving, you know, St. Francis then our rules, you know, he does, I actually apply it in a broader sense because he's talking to the Minister General in particular, but it really covers both, you know, anyone who has authority. If we're perturbed and disturbed, you know, perturbation, that lack of interior peace, I'm upset, I'm irritated, it's not a time to give a correction. It's not a time to give orders. As St. John Bosco would say, it's actually a time for me to exercise patience. I need to wait till I can calm down, get a hold of myself first. Because if I'm all anxious, if I'm all upset, I'm all irritated, how is it I'm going to expect patience and supernatural obedience or supernatural actions, virtues from others when I myself am lacking, even in the very execution of what, well, I'm supposed to do as if I'm the one in charge? We need to strive to keep calm and keep our peace, that peace in our heart with God. This is what's important in the execution of you know, of any charge that we have been given, you know, and I take it even to some of the smaller things. You know, we can be in charge. It doesn't have to be a superior. It can be in charge of anything. You know, some people, when they're in charge, boy, they run it like they're King Tut. That's not the way we're to run things. We're to run them in service to one another. To contemplate this gift, striving for the unity with God in our lives, this is why we want to really be a subject to one another, in so far as God gives the various, that hierarchy of obedience, if you will, recognizing it, obeying it, so as to be in unity with God and one another. And it even allows for different modes of, you know, changes of authority. You know, someone might do it a little bit different, although I do try to tell people, you know, I've always tried to practice. You know, you come in, you really want to hold the fort when you come in. You don't want to change everything. Well, I don't want to do it that way. You want to learn what they do, how they do it. And then only, you know, if we're in charge of things, we change things because we recognize it's for the common good and out of charity for all. And nobody really appreciates, you know, when someone, new guy comes on, new kid on the block, and he wants to make everything his way and change everything. Well, that just causes confusion and disturbs everyone's peace, because it's like they don't know what they're doing anymore. Changes need to happen slowly and carefully, well thought out. Doesn't mean there won't be some mistakes. Doesn't mean you're going to make everybody happy anyways. Any change can, you know, even if his all things are equal, you can still irritate people. You can only do your best. But if we're sensitive to this kindness, this peace, striving for peace and understanding, and recognizing people's weaknesses, striving for that unity with God in time, you know, even if some people are a little disturbed about one change or another, whatever, in time, when they accept it, recognizing that it may very well be God's will, there will be peace and there will be unity. You know, and it's important for all who have authority that their authority, their honor before the eyes of other men, because, you know, anyone, even myself, you know, if you look at priests out there that say fail in one way or another and it becomes common knowledge, they can know all the truths of the faith. They can speak clearly and try to teach clearly, but because the people of God don't recognize them as someone that should be, you know, oh, look, he's a big, big wretch. Why should I listen to him? And yet he may be telling me the truth. It will be only the faithful who actually know the truths of the faith, done some of their own homework, that will even know that, well, yeah, he's actually telling you the right thing. It's really important for those who have authority to maintain, and even to a certain extent, and everyone actually, certain, you know, this is true for all of us, we all have a right to our reputation. In fact, it's a dangerous thing. You know, if, doesn't matter if, you know, say the Pope, this is the thing that Saint Catherine of Siena in her time was trying to point out, both to the Holy Father and to the cardinals of that time. It's extremely important to defend the dignity, the honor, the reputation of Holy Mother Church. This is what we see in the media. Every time the church starts to go up in estimation among the, say, the everybody in the world, what happens? It's attacked. The media goes out and they find any kind of dirt they can find and splash it across the media to destroy this view, which is a good view of the church, to try and ruin the reputation of the church so that people will not give much weight to her words. They will not heed her voice. And that same example works all the way down through all her ministers. It's a fulfillment of what our Lord says in the scriptures. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep are scattered. This is why it's important to maintain the reputation, you know, especially among the church. It doesn't matter. You can say the church, religious orders, and the ministers themselves. If I strike at it, if I can undermine it before men, ruin its reputation, then it becomes ineffective in the ministry that God's given it, because the people don't listen. They can't trust. They don't know whether they should trust or not, because it causes confusion. This is why it's in, you know, the a reputation of, well, church, orders, her ministers, even parents, anyone with authority. It's important. The reputation is actually important to be an effective means for people to obey the one who has that authority from Christ to give orders. Let us contemplate with St. Catherine of Siena, praying to her in particular for that peace which she strove for in her own time, a peace with God and a unity among ourselves. Only unity with God can bring about real peace. It brings peace even to, you know, the sheep and the shepherds in all the various ways that I've, you know, really talked about. You know, I don't know, even in the workplace. You know, really, you know, in a workplace, if the employees don't obey the, you know, they don't respect the one in authority, well, the whole thing falls apart. It can't stand because it's divided. Let us work for this peace in the church and unity amongst ourselves as we strive to serve the Lord faithfully. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.